Britt getting the heat he deserves. Alvin getting the love that he deserves. And I'm into hour number two. Welcome to the program.
Game on.
It is the Jim Rome Show. I'm Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, I gave you my NFL recap like I do every single Monday. I want to talk about the Jets and their meltdown. They choked. Man, they were working their plan to perfection. 0-13 on their way to getting that generational transcendent player, and then they choke. They melt down. I'll have that for you in a minute. But this reaction is just too good because Alvin's mastery of the board is just too good. Only Alvin can do what you just heard. Hey, Rome, wow. That is the best recovery ever by Raider Mike. Here in Iowa, we go hunting a lot. That sounded like Mike took a 20 gauge to the throat, Aaron, in Iowa.
Van Smack, I am fired up. You know, I'm probably the only one in the jungle still left that knows about the article you had taped up on your mirror in your bathroom. But epic of you to take the phone call, my friend. It's been a lifetime since we drank beer and shot some pool down on Ventura Boulevard after that Sports Illustrated shoot. And, you know, as kids, you know, our kids grow up, our careers grind on, you know, but we never really changed, Jim.
Okay, remember, he did that during a call to this show. So he's on a big stage in front of, I don't know, maybe 8.5 billion people listening. And this guy was able to catch himself, maintain, rally, and keep that call together. That really was an amazing recovery. And it did sound like he took a 20 gauge to his throat.
Pulled down on Ventura Boulevard after that Sports Illustrated shoot. And, you know, as kids, you know, our kids grow up, our careers grind on. You know,
barely skips a beat. What with all that shrapnel in his trachea. Incredible. Romy, is Ritt out next week also? I only ask because I may need to use his chair and the studio chair at the same time. Regards, Brian Weber's huge ass. Geoff and Lincoln. Well, Hawk, you like that one, huh? Do me a favor. Don't be huge assing my guest hosts. Because if we can't find them, then I have to be here. Hey, Romy. Wow. Those two Christmas remixes. That is the hardest I have laughed listening to The Jungle in a long ass time. Signed, the other Steven in H-Town, listener since 97. At Ol' Kenny K tweets, Alvin, you, sir, are a true master.
Thank you.
He is too, man. Nobody can do that except Alvin. Mark in Hollywood is in. Dying laughing at those two songs still. Bravo, Alvin DeLauro. At Hitman Canadian, shut the show down. Let's go home. Can't top this gold. Can't. You can't teach what Alvin does. Nobody can do that but Alvin. At JWags15, quote, this jungle Christmas music reset has me smiling like Ritt when he thinks about hot chocolate, Skittles, and Ambi. Ambi. Hey, old man. Her name is Andy.
Andy.
Skittles. People following me on Twitter.
Andy.
Me live tweeting UK games.
Andy. Andy.
Me losing my hair when I was 9. At Todd Weber guitar. Hey, Rome. I just barely pulled into work without crashing on the way. I was too busy dying at what Alvin had concocted. Coffee all out my nose from laughter. It was good stuff. I mean, even the old school hardcores who don't like anything are in to hype Alvin. SoCal Jeff, these songs are absolute bangers, Alvy. Dear Rome, Garrett Ritt. See, I mean, this is how good this is. This is what I was talking about. Let's have a little fun. Get up in here. React. This is a ton of reaction. Rome, Garrett Ritt seems like the guy who would show up for a free holiday brunch on day off. Regards, if it's free, give me three. Guy. Francis in Glendale. War Rich Flores using quesadillas as face masks. Hey, Rome. You're working today during Christmas week. Dude, I haven't taken a shower all weekend. I'm sitting on the couch, maybe taking some drugs, and totally tripping that you hired Fred Rogers to work on the XR4TI. Signed, Chris, no longer in St. Pete. Well done, Chris. He hasn't taken a shower all weekend. He's posted up on his couch, possibly taking drugs, and he's referring to Adam Hawk in the front row, looking all like Fred Rogers up in here. At the Rooter Tutor tweets, if you are given any time off when it's desirable and busy, it means you suck and your coworkers are better off without you. How you like that, Ritt? And I asked the question, hey, Bills Mafia, how you living right now? Rome, the Bills Mafia is peaking right now. There is no way they can get any higher. Yours, Bitcoin price. True in West LA. Actually, it was down this morning. It's all right. We're still near 23 Gur. Hey, Rome, death, taxes, and a Pac-12 honk like Yogi Roth coming on the show, and the flagship team of the conference gets crushed. Rob in Myrtle Beach, that was a little unfortunate. Not Yogi, he's awesome. Yogi's the best. Yeah, but that was not the best showing by the flagship program of the conference. 1-800-636-8686. I do want to talk about the Jets. First, let's go to Omaha, Nebraska. John. Omaha! Good to have you, John. How are you?
Hey, John. Romy, thanks for the vine, man. So I've been a Cleveland Browns fan my whole life, and it sucked. The worst part, though, isn't just that they lose all the time. It wasn't the 0-16 season or the zero playoff appearances the last 20 years. The worst part is just that they're just the most embarrassing team in the NFL. For instance, Jim, I have two Cleveland Browns jerseys that are buried so deep in my closet, I like to forget that I never wear them outside, and I like to forget, and I'm embarrassed to admit, I even own them. Because they're the jerseys of a convicted sex predator and a junkie, alcoholic, washed-up frat boy who the entire city of Cleveland thought was going to be our savior for 6 months. That's right, I was stupid enough to buy jerseys of Kellen Winslow Jr. and Johnny Football. I was all ready for this year to be basically the same thing. I was expecting these dumb Baker Mayfield commercials for State Farm to switch to commercial and then see the Browns lose by 30 to the Ravens every week. And I thought this week they were primed for the same thing. Coming off that heartbreaking loss last week, that they were just going to blow it to their former high school glorified high school PE coach, Freddie Kitchens. But for once, the Browns didn't trip over their own shoelaces, didn't blow it, and didn't vomit all over themselves. And I will have a Merry Christmas. So war, me not being ashamed of the Browns, I'm out.
You got it, John. Thank you very much. Baker does not do State Farm commercials, I don't believe. I don't need to get into the companies that he does rep. We already know, but that's not one of them. Why don't you feel that way? Like, if you're a longtime Browns fan and you own gear and you've been there and you've been that guy, why did you feel that way? If you listen to this program, why did you feel that way? I've been banging that drum. I have been banging the America's Team drum and did so before they hired these guys. Now, granted, I will own this. Got to own everything, right? The good takes and the bad takes. The times when you're right, the times when you're wrong. I did love Freddie Kitchens. I did. I thought that was a good idea at that time. That was not a good idea, come to find out. But they made the right call. They admitted that that was not the right idea, that he was not best suited to be a head coach, that that was not a good fit, that that was a bad decision. And then they fixed it. And they've set this thing up perfectly. I thought that Charles Robinson made a really good point, that if you have the right structure in place, if you hire a good GM and you have a good coach and there's a good working relationship between the two of them and you have talent, you can get right, and you can get right quickly. This thing can turn quickly, and that's exactly what they have. In Stefanski, they've got a great head coach, great young head coach who's leading from the front, who communicates extremely well, who obviously is a great X and O guy with a great scheme, and he's taking advantage of the parts that he has. And the fact that they're doing this, the fact that they won 10 games during a pandemic is incredible. Andrew Berry is brilliant. I mean, this whole thing is so good. And by the way, ownership is staying out of the way. Ownership is not meddling. It couldn't be better than it is. So as a Browns fan, how can you tell me? I mean, I understand that you are prepped to expect the worst, because the worst generally happens. But if you've been paying attention, man, they were building this thing the right way. Either way, I'm glad that you're no longer embarrassed to be a Browns fan. You shouldn't be, man. You should be proud as hell. They're America's team. I love them. Let's go to Chapel Hill. This guy's old school. Tobin has been a part of some of the most famous slash infamous calls in the history of the program. But I like the way he picks the spots. He'll show up a few times a year now. Tobin in Chapel Hill. Tobin, what's going on?
Hey, Jim. Thanks again for the vine, man.
You got it. What's up with you?
Thanks for this year, because you've been a crucial part of my Rona routine. Without it, I'm just bat bleep crazy. And I don't want to get off on a thread here, but this year has been so weird that my Krzyzewski is starting to sound good. This year is so weird that Rex and the ABQ would be happy and cheerful. This year is so weird that the Buffalo Bills won their division, the Browns are actually good, and the Buckeyes are going to play in the playoff at 6-0 without beating Michigan. I don't even know what to think anymore. But, of course, without Alvin DeLauro, none of this would make any sense. And speaking of spectacular flameouts, it's been hard to sit here without just laughing constantly, Rome. I need to remind the world that I am immortalized on the very first Alvin's mix, which I haven't heard in a while, just in its purest form. And I think that you need to thank me and treat 8 billion listeners and yourself to hearing that first immortalized mix, because, man, I wear that badge with honor. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you, Janet, Jake, and Rogan Loam. Out.
All right, Tobin, thank you very much. And how close did you come to flaming again during that call, like 5 different times? Tobin, just because you ask for it does not mean that you get it. It's always been that way. Like, if I give you clones what you want all the time, I will be a clone myself. So I will leave it up to Alvin. Alvin's had various reincarnations of that mix. Tobin said that he made the inaugural mix. Is that true, Alvin? And do you have it? And do you have any interest in playing it? Alvin says that he's got the original Tobin flame out in 05. What, Tobin's trying to get you to play the actual mix, but do what you want, Alvin. It's your world.
What doesn't kill you definitely makes you stronger, and that guy is invincible. In contrast, but not in quality, but not in quantity, or I should say, in contrast, excuse me, Charles.
All right, Tobin. Tobin, I mean, if I give you credit for that mix, do I not have to give everybody credit in that mix? You're not the reason for the mix, Tobin. I mean, you're one of the guys who deserve to be immortalized in that mix. Alvin, if I'm not mistaken, do your records not indicate that the last time you actually updated the famous Alvin DeLauro mix was 2011, right? All right, so yeah. Almost a decade ago, I would love to hear, if you don't mind, how that sounded.
You got a Hispanic accent.
In a bun in my face.
Give me back my...
Chew it! Chew it!
Six-pack abs.
Your punches are screwing it up!
That's right.
What abs?
What are we talking about?
Ohio State sucks.
Ohio State still sucks.
Nobody goes to Ohio State for education.
Go Bucks. Screw the Blue.
Got the Nebraska head of football team.
You want us to come over to shoot her?
Knock it off!
You're pulling the sausage, man.
His brother's Pedro.
I'm under wrong, too.
Too much awesome on my feet.
Put a Red Lobster to get you a nice meal.
I just found liable of sexual harassment, blackmailed by my point guard.
We're undefeated.
Bad performance. Gallatin's run.
From your horse or something.
Rex is a dog. Man.
Vladimir or
Billy. 0 to 17,000 miles an hour.
Talking about practice.
Golden ticket. Idiot picker.
Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting.
Few whining little babies in this league.
Feel this layer of filth on me.
Don't be a high
person. Dude, now.
Totally crashed.
Mm.
monkey. I have never.
Oh.
On your mama.
Period.
Brother.
No.
Please.
Certainly Duke is Duke.
I like my chances.
How do you want to do it?
So Foxy, I would do this.
You're
like an elephant. You got all these great memories.
Man candy.
Jim Rome, you are so hot.
Dude. He was throwing me cutters.
That lefty turning the ball over. I couldn't elevate.
Playing in the wrong was lifetime.
Bench the salt.
Being rebellious.
It's not Ryan, it's Ryan.
South Africa.
And Iraq.
JD, you're up. Nice to have you. How are you?
Pray for my sanctuary.
It's Lima time.
Tell you some great stories off microphone.
They were changing tents.
Can't wait.
That would have been Tony's dad.
I feel so bad for Nate Roberts.
Sometimes I'm rash and braggadocious.
Each time he'd put a cart in.
7 years up in the pro.
I'm a thuggin', I'm crazy.
I'm huge and I'm a
stud. And then
another
on the sand.
Jane freaking.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, that's the dog time.
Great to be here at Wrigley Stadium.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
The amazing thing about that is, well, all of it, there were three more minutes left of it. Tobin, dude, did you literally try to take credit for that? Because you were one of like the thousands that were in it. There were three more minutes to that, which we may or may not get to. That's the work of Alvy a decade ago. When we come back, Howard Beck joins me. Talk some basketball with him and maybe reset the last 3 minutes of the last version of the famous Alvin mix. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Believe it or not, the NBA season is about to begin. So, on that note, we are joined right now by an NBA writer at Sports Illustrated. A SiriusXM NBA analyst, co-host of the crossover NBA show with Chris Mannix and Howard Beck. He is the pride of UC Davis. He is a friend of the program. He is Howard Beck. Howard, what's going on? How are you?
Doing well, Romy. How are you? Thank you for the very nice intro. The UC Davis part, of course, being the most important part.
Dude, that is a very important part. Hold on a minute. That's really important because I, as you know, also a member of the great UC family. So I'm proud of you and I'm proud of that relationship. Good to have you back. Listen, it's been a couple of months since you and I last spoke. So how is life and how is the new gig with SI?
Appreciate it. The new gig is still very fresh. Just started last Wednesday, but the NBA season is upon us. So there's no time to get acclimated. We're just jumping right in. But thrilled to be with Sports Illustrated. That was the dream job since I was a teenager. First became a sports fan and first got, you know, engrossed in sports writing and thought that might be something I'd like to do. So this is the dream gig. So I'm just I'm thrilled to be with SI and happy to get going.
Good for you. Good to see it. Howard Beck is joining us. You've actually had a couple of dream gigs, which I'll get to in a minute. But Howard, in terms of the season, I mean, it's starting and we're entering the worst part of the pandemic that we've seen to date. I mean, there was no way the league was going to go with a full bubble again. So what do you make of the approach that the league is taking?
Yeah, listen, I mean, all the excitement and all the usual, you know, all the discussions we have, Jim, and all the stuff of, you know, who can win the championship, who's going to be MVP, like all the excitement and the thrill of having the NBA back, I think needs to be tempered. And it's hard because we, like with everybody else across the country and around the world, we all just kind of want to feel like things are normal again. And the NBA being back is part of that. And it's natural to be excited about it. But I do think this is not the summer. This is not the bubble. The NBA did a great job of securing themselves in the bubble, but that was the easy part when it comes right down to it. Because if you don't let anybody else in and nobody leaves, you can keep the virus out and everybody can then applaud how great a job you did. And that's not to diminish it. It was difficult and it was a definite burden for everybody who was part of it. But what they're doing now with no bubble means a lot more risk. And I just think it's inevitable that guys are going to get the virus. Like, how would they not? Everybody's in their home markets. They're in their homes. They have wives and kids, girlfriends, family members. They're going through their daily routine, and you're going to get exposed just as anybody else in their daily routine gets exposed. And so the key thing for the NBA, you know, they can't assume that COVID won't affect them at all. They have to manage it as best they can, catch cases as quickly as possible so that you don't have outbreaks among teams and hope for the best. But, you know, this is a big business and there's billions of dollars at stake. And so, of course, they're going to soldier on and just try to do the best they can. I think the NBA will do a great job with it, but they can do the best possible job and there will still be cases because that's how prevalent the virus is.
No doubt. You're exactly right. Howard Beck is joining us All right, so I could follow you on that point, but our time is limited, so I want to keep moving. Before the start of the season, Howard, we had the Giannis contract and the James Harden saga. First of all, what was your reaction to the Giannis deal? Not only that he decided to stay in Milwaukee, but he signed a contract which is going to keep there as long as he possibly, or keep him there as long as he possibly could have stayed. What is your reaction to that?
I mean, I love it for the Milwaukee Bucks, and I know that, look, just because Giannis did it doesn't mean that all small markets are now magically graced with the same benefit. You got to do things right. And it's a higher bar sometimes in a smaller market than it would be for teams in glamour markets. But I do think it's a good sign. I think stability in the small markets is good for the league. And the Bucks earned this. And I think the most important conclusion anybody should draw from Giannis' signature is not, oh, he'll be fabulously wealthy. He was already fabulously wealthy, and if he didn't sign it, he could have signed something next summer that would have made him more fabulously wealthy. What that signature really meant was he believes in Bucks ownership and in the Bucks front office, and that the trajectory they're on is one where he can compete, contend for titles year in, year out for the foreseeable future. Because if he didn't believe that, and that's really how he's built, he wants that more than anything, then he could have left all of his options open next summer. And he decided to close off all of his options. No Miami Heat, no Toronto, no anybody else. I'm here because I believe in what this franchise is doing. That's a tremendous vote of confidence in the Bucks franchise.
We are talking to Howard Beck. So, Howard, what about James Harden then? Like, how does Giannis signing in Milwaukee affect the market for Harden? Or, because Harden has made it so clear that he does not want to be in Houston, is that going to really hurt the market for him? What's that look like?
Well, the market for James Harden, you know, you'd think it would be a lot frothier given he's a recent MVP, a perennial MVP candidate. Yeah, he's 31, but he's still playing at an incredibly high level, and his style of game should age pretty well. There should be, you would think, a ton of interest. But James Harden plays a certain way, and it is very ball-dominant, and it is all-consuming. And if you're going to make a trade for him, you have to basically adapt your entire team to him and decide that you know, just as he was the entire engine with the Rockets, he's going to be with you. So I don't see teams knocking down the Rockets' door to get him or making offers that blow them away. But if you're the Rockets, you need an offer that blows you away because you're talking about one of the greatest scorers of all time and still a top five player in today's game. So it's tough. It's tough to find the right package. And until they do, the Rockets should be in no hurry to move him. They've got to wait and make sure that they make the best deal for themselves, because once Harden's gone, it could be a very, very long time, Jim, before the Rockets have any player of that caliber again.
We're talking NBA with Howard Beck. All right, Howard, the Nets are opening up the season at home against Golden State. You've called your shot. You said that you expect Kevin Durant to be the MVP this year. What do you expect from the Nets overall as a team in their first year with Durant and Kyrie and Steve Nash as their head coach?
So there's a lot of caveats on this team, Jim, and I'm the first to note them, right? We haven't seen Durant play in a regular season game, preseason notwithstanding. He hasn't played in a real game in 18 months. He's coming back from one of the toughest injuries there is, the Achilles surgery. Most guys who come back from the Achilles are not back to their old level. He and Kyrie have never been teammates before. They may be friends, but they've never been teammates in the NBA before. Steve Nash is a rookie coach. Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie have to adapt to new, lesser roles alongside the two stars. Like, that's a lot of stuff. Those are a lot of things, you know, chemistry and just the mechanics of working out this team. That's all new to each other. So, you know, expectations should be very high because of the talent level. And, yeah, they're a contender in the East, for sure. They have a shot to make the finals, absolutely, if everything goes right. But that is a lot of caveats. And if it all goes their way, man, it could be an incredible season. But probably there'll be some snags. There'll probably be some bumps along the way. They're going to need to get used to each other, figure out chemistry, roles, all that stuff. But Durant so far, at least in the preseason games, looked very much like himself, and that is a fantastic sign. And if he plays up to his old level and the Nets are as good as we think they can be, then yeah, I think he's right in the mix for MVP.
We are talking to Howard Beck for a few more moments. Howard, what about the defending champs, the Lakers? What kind of LeBron James, Howard, are you expecting to see this season, and how do you think they will use him in terms of rest and load management?
71 days from the time they won the championship to the time they tip off tomorrow night, and that is the shortest turnaround ever. And you're talking about a guy who's going into his 18th season and is about to turn 36. But LeBron is not like anybody else we've ever seen in their mid-30s, and certainly not superstars. The guy just doesn't show any sign of slowing down. I think we should expect more of the same. I think he's back in the MVP discussion himself again. But I also think that the Lakers need to be cautious. You know, they know what they're capable of. They don't need to be gunning for the number one seed. They don't need to worry about home court, especially if there's not going to be, who knows if there's going to be fans back in arenas by the playoffs or not. And if they're not, you know, who cares about home court? Manage LeBron's minutes. Make sure you do not burn him out or put him at risk in the early weeks of the season after that short turnaround, because as great as Anthony Davis is, that team still rises and falls, and their ultimate potential is decided by LeBron.
Howard Beck is joining us. Howard, one last topic before you go. Earlier this month, you did write a guest piece for the New York Times that was about the Golden State dynasty, but really it was about your father, Cy. And when you're in the business, you don't root, but you're from the San Jose area. So when the Warriors were in the finals, you were able to head back to the Bay Area. What were those trips like?
Yeah, no, thanks, Jim. And thank you again to the New York Times, my old employer, for allowing me to have the guest piece there. 5 straight years, the Warriors got me home. My parents were still living up outside of Sacramento. And so when the Warriors are in the finals, that means I get free trips to the Bay Area. And I got to go visit them, and I did that for 5 straight years. And the last one of them was in 2019 when the Warriors and Raptors were playing, and it was literally the last time I got to see my father. He passed away about 6 weeks later after an accident at home and some time in the hospital, and I didn't get back to see him again. And so the piece was about, you know, the fact that the NBA, it can put us on the road, and the job can take you all over the place and away from home, but it also It gives you those connections too, and it gives you those moments. And because the Warriors were in the finals for 5 straight years, the Warriors gave me those extra days with my parents, and especially, you know, in this case with my father, at a time that, you know, I didn't know it was going to be the last time I'd see him. But as it turns out, that's what happened. And so I just kind of an appreciation for sometimes the basketball gods looking out for you. And you know, the Warriors were so fantastic in so many ways to watch them, and just as a basketball fan, they're fun. They were an incredible team, and yeah, selfishly, I was more than happy to see them keep getting to the finals so I could get those visits in.
I think that's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that. I want to ask you one more thing, Howard, because I'm curious about your father and how he approached it. Like, my father also passed away, and he was ill, and he had no problem sharing his thoughts with me about my program. Although I used to say to him, you know, really, because I'm not only can I not share my thoughts with you about your business, you fired me from your business. So I used to get a kick out of my dad trying to produce the show. Your father was a huge fan of newspapers. He loved reading. What did it mean to him that you got to work for the New York Times? And then what kind of feedback did he give you?
So my dad grew up in the Bronx. Both of my parents did. They moved to California before I was born. And so when I was a kid, my dad always had the San Jose Mercury News and the Wall Street Journal on the table, which meant that I grew up a newspaper guy, newspaper reader myself. So that's a really important part of, obviously, who I became as an adult in my career. And so my dad was a huge part of that. But as a proud New Yorker, as a proud guy from Pelham Parkway in the Bronx, my dad would talk about, we had 10 daily newspapers and he read them all. But the best and was better than the San Jose Mercury News, is better than anything I got to read. He would always tell us how great the New York Times was. And this is pre-internet, of course, so I don't know of the New York Times except by its reputation. But my dad loved the Times, and when I got the job there in 2004, and it meant moving 3,000 miles, obviously, being further from my parents, but they were thrilled. My dad was thrilled because he absolutely loved that paper. He had toured the old newsroom, the old building, when he was, you know, in high school, like 50 years before. And so it was a really nice kind of full circle thing where I ended up moving to New York, where my parents were from, and going to work for the New York Times, a paper that my dad had really treasured for all those years. And he was very proud. Even he would send me these notes, these emails, sometimes like, you know, 2 a.m. my time, because he had just read my story online, my latest like Knicks game story or story from the finals. And just send me these quick little notes just saying how much he loved the Turner phrase or something. And my dad was not the most expressive person all the time in person, but his pride always showed through in those emails and these quick little notes he would send me, which thanks to the beauty of the internet, Jim, and thanks to AOL, these things are never deleted. I've still got all of them.
I love it. AOL. Again, really quickly, I think that's great, Howard. I think, like, younger listeners right now would not understand this, but those who are of, like, my age or your age would. I mean, this is how I came up. I got into sports because my father taught me how to read the sports page when I was in first grade. I can remember trying to get up in the morning before him so I could go get the newspaper so I could get to the sports page, because inevitably he would come to the breakfast table and say, give me the sports page. But this is how we came up. For those who have never actually read a newspaper, man, the sports pages back in the day were, like, the most awesome thing, and that's how I first got into it myself. He's a senior NBA writer at SI, SiriusXM NBA analyst, co-host of the crossover NBA show with Chris Mannix and Howard Beck, the pride of UC Davis, and a good friend of the program. Wow, that's a lot to cover. Howard, great job. Good on you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on your dad. That was awesome and really good to get caught up with you.
Appreciate it, Romy. Always a pleasure, man. Great talking to you. Happy holidays. Have a great new year, and can't wait to talk to you again soon.
You too, my brother. Happy holidays. Great job, Howard Beck. A really neat story about him and his dad. And that is true about me and my dad. He taught me how to read, like, the aggregate section and the standings and everything else. And that was a beautiful thing. And then you fast forward ahead, and Jake Rome was with one of his buddies yesterday and blowing me up on my phone about, hey, Dad, who should I take, the Saints or the Chiefs? This is how I hit this one. Only to have his mother find out and tell him, you're not gambling anymore. This is how the world's changed so dramatically. Me and my old man used to fight over the sports page, and now my older son and his mother are fighting over whether or not he should be allowed to gamble online about games. 2020, yo. All right, when we come back, sorry about that. I went really heavy, but I've got the wherewithal to make a decision like that, especially when the content is very good, and that was. That said, here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Listen up. Not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper is better for you. It's higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, or candy. You want to make sure you ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? All right, so really quickly, I want to take you into my thought process a little bit, my actual process for hosting the show. When I make a decision about what to do on the show and what to talk about on the show, there's a lot of people I have to take into consideration. You know, the listeners, the programmers, the people I work for, the sponsors. You know, there is a blueprint every single day, and there's a rhyme and a reason, and I do have a process. As an example, earlier today, I said, you know what, let's have some fun. And I did Alvin's segment with the two songs, the Christmas songs. And at that point, my process was, is it too early on a Monday? I knew you clones would love it, but I'm going to be honest. I'm thinking about the people I work for, the company I work for, the programmers, the PDs, and I'm wondering if any of the old school is going to be like, hey, Rome, you know, it's a little bit early in the program to be grab-assing. You know, maybe you cover your things first. Maybe you do your takes first. Maybe you save that for the third hour. I don't know if you really want to hit that in the first hour. I knew you clones would love it. But again, I can't only host and program for you clones. Or one day I will be a clone. Nothing wrong with being a clone. You know what I'm saying? But I decided, you know what? Let's just do it. I want to set the tone. I know a lot of you are at home. I know a lot of you are already drinking. I mean, fact. Yeah. I know some of you are baking. I know a lot of you are having fun. And I want you to say, or I want you to know, let's have some fun. It is the last week of the year. It's a short week. I'm still going to do what I need to do and what I want to do. But we can have some fun. So I'm glad I made that decision. The reaction's been great. Paul Stewart tweets, Alvy is our Mozart.
Dude.
Dr. Dre, NoCal, tweets, I am the only other one that can do what Alvin DeLauro does. I taught him everything he knows. Sincerely, Brian Albers. There's something to that. Whitey was the original OG. He is the OG. He didn't teach Alvin everything that he knows. Albie's come on a lot of this on his own over the past decade plus, but Brian Albers was a legend, is a legend, and he did precede Albie, and he was the anti-Albie. Albie is all about staying on everybody's good side and not rocking the boat. Brian Albers was about, I don't give a damn. He was the ultimate, I don't give a bleep. Ultimate pro. I mean, like, he was the master of the board, but didn't give a damn. Didn't give a damn about me. Didn't give a damn about you. He was going to do what he had to do, no matter what, or what he thought was right. Rome, I used to listen to you all the time. I drove a lot from my old job. I changed careers. I became a teacher. I can't listen to you as much anymore. I'm on Christmas break. I'm enjoying listening to the whole show once again. Listening to Alvin's mix brought back some old memories of me parking my truck along the side of the road, not being able to get out until your commercial break. Thanks for all you do. Jeff in Sacktown. That's cool. Appreciate that. Rome, thanks for leaving room for some good laughs today. I have to remember not to have food in my mouth when you intro an Alvin masterpiece. Happy holidays to you and the XR4TI. Jim in Denver. D. Faber 1, long live the original Alvin mix. It still gets me. Albie, we had 3 minutes left. Can you give us a little more of the original mix?
Pray for my son.
It's Lima time.
Tell you some great stories off microphone.
They were changing tents.
Can't wait.
That would have been Tony's dad.
I feel so bad for Nate Roberts.
Sometimes I'm rash and braggadocious.
Each time he'd put a cart in.
7 years up in the pro.
I'm a thug and I'm crazy.
I'm huge and I'm hot.
And then another on the sand.
Jane freaking.
Time to
go. Uh-oh. Ooh, that's a dog time.
Great to be here at Wrigley Stadium.
Oh, my good goodness gracious.
1, 2.
Yo, I'll make up for it now.
But I support Larry Bond.
Wash somebody's back, I guess. Huh?
George Clooney.
But I hope I'm somewhere on that jungle lift still.
I was a drop in the Jim Rome show.
How about you?
That's whack.
He's lying.
Or he's stupid.
Turn off your station.
He's an idiot and I don't ever want to see him again.
Keep calling, weakling.
If I have to rape a girl just to get her into bed or have sex with her or whatever, it's not worth it.
Stupid, overrated record.
Really want to go shake the kid
in a spring training.
My VCR was locked and loaded.
I don't want to talk about steroids or...
All the bases weren't stolen.
Secondly, why would a father want the daughter in the morning?
Mutombo.
27-27.
I believe it's Glenn Wright.
Where are they, Jeffrey? I think he's talking about us.
Let's fight him.
Put away from my face.
That's Larry Brown's guy, right?
Hey, yo, player. Andrew. Your next word is...
Andrew.
Yeah, I said it.
Bill Jackson.
Losers 1,000.
Boner is wet pants.
My love, your mom.
The Robert Donga.
What were you doing there?
As a homosexual, Mike.
Rummy, she rock.
I will kill you.
Come on, Rachel Shaver.
Get my name out your mouth.
You like zombies? Evidence.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Look in the cap with another hole.
Perfect in the jungle right now, and I tell you once again, it's changed.
Need to have that on my iPod.
Jeff Gordon!
Get both of you guys in college and get your mom's rack done.
Ponder passing.
I'm an Asian. The friendly ghost, the friendliest ghost you know.
And I mean,
I am verbally murdering this inbred.
Great interview with Deion Branch.
Bitch, bitch, bitch. I mean, what are you, the greatest
fight to the death?
They don't just fight.
My buddy's name is Jim Rowe.
In contrast, but not in quality, but not in contrast. Excuse me.
Doggy dog. Oh, man.
I'm the bottle on the top.
What's his
middle
name?
Is anybody hitting anyone right
now?
What's going on?
Ridge.
Ooh,
thank you.
In house.
What the heck's going
on?
Giles.
Ricky, please.
Playoffs?
If you want to crown him,
then
crown
him.
What do you mean?
You're
dead. It's 9 now.
It's Division One football.
Come after me.
Win.
Nah.
Win.
I'm 40.
How I feel.
What do you want to talk about, clone?
Can I call you Romy?
Tell me it's not just another show.
They only put 4 feet in the jail.
The jungle is alive.
There's too much down there, man.
We will play in the national title.
Bow down before your king, you sir. Pay me my proper tribute.
Hopefully your choke is just a bogey.
Have you ever seen a face that oily before?
Hey!
You love the pitch, don't you?
I park my car in garage and always in this guy's nostrils.
How's it going?
I get benefits and you don't.
Hi, my name's Bill.
No disrespect.
Ranger Rick on the golf course.
I need a ground.
The thin line of blasphemy in the jungle.
You're at about 60, 65.
You know who the hell I am.
Roger Penske organization.
Yvonne,
Yvonne. Noodle sticking out of her ass.
Chasing all the tramps around America League.
Class act, buddy.
Brutal. Kick your butt right here.
Necks and cuts of a blade.
Correct.
You're gonna pay.
Vegan cheesecake.
All right, just take the oil.
All right, everybody.
I didn't spit, I just...
John, a friendly man.
Dr. Boudreau.
Gonna get your punk ass ate out.
They made your butthole poker up.
Have all
given you enough
to talk about.
Run! Go move!
Ain't no way.
Vance, 1-800.
You like them apples?
Makes me want to pee.
We see cat, mate.
What's the matter with you?
Our collard greens are
melon. First of all, 25 million.
25 million reasons.
You got a homemade microwave.
Some braces, some Invisalign.
It's like a big midget.
He said.
I do declare.
Oh, man.
I'm in New York.
Ridiculous.
Let's swing.
Shalom.
Line linebacker.
Yeah!
Good night.
Give me back my fat.
Right.
Holy bleep. Alvin, it's got my head spinning. So that was 10 years ago. Can you imagine 10 years from today what the mix of today, you know, the week that was, or the year interview would sound like 10 years from right now? I can't wait to find out. Alvin, was that in 1.5 speed, double speed, triple speed, 4X? That was normal. All right, so that, you know what? Tobin, thank you very much, Tobin. That was some unexpected content. Of all the guys to understand what I was talking about. Now, that was not what he meant to do. Tobin called in to try to give himself some credit. Like, hey, Rome, you know, I want to give you credit. It's been a hard year, but really I want to give myself credit. I was the one that flamed out. I was the one that was part of that original mix. Can you please play the original mix? And I thought, come on, Tobin, why is it always about you? You always make it about you. But I'm so glad the guy made it about him, because Alvin was able to dig up the last actual famous Alvin mix, which had not been updated since 2011. Probably because that's right around the time, Alvin, you started doing the week that was. Is that why? So Alvin's been doing it on a weekly basis, which is why he never went with the monster block ever again. But that's how the show sounded a decade ago. It holds up pretty well, doesn't it? Incredible production by Alvin. And a lot of that stuff we can no longer...